Actually, I was a bit worried before I received the vaccine, but I feel good and I'm waiting for the next dose.
India boosts its vaccination effort. It's Tuesday, February 16th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, getting enough vaccine distributed proves difficult. Australia offers vaccine proof. Florida puts residents first for shots. Nurses get a gift. Mars has visitors. It's all on today's VOA Asia. India's nationwide vaccination drive against COVID-19 is picking up speed after encountering vaccine hesitancy in a country where the pandemic has waned. Anjana Pasricha visited an inoculation center in a New Delhi hospital to see the hurdles and the progress in India's drive, which was billed as the world's largest.
A sense of apprehension, then a sense of relief, as these health workers at Indraprastha Apollo Hospital in New Delhi received their first vaccine shot against COVID-19.
I heard from so many people that there is a lot of side effects, but actually I was a bit worried before I received the vaccine, but I feel good and I'm waiting for the next dose.
I feel very safe because I worked for a long time in a COVID ward. Even if something has happened to me, I will be all right with this vaccine.
After the inoculation, the health workers click photos at a selfie point. Such initiatives are part of a massive drive by officials to persuade people to take the shot in a country battling to overcome vaccine hesitancy. After India rolled out its nationwide vaccination program a month ago, initial reports about possible side effects of vaccines raised doubts among some, even health workers. To ease such worries, doctors are stepping forward to get inoculated.
People were a bit scared, a lot of questions. We kept on answering their questions. And then when they saw that vaccine is quite safe, this helped us. In building the confidence in vaccine.
The pace is picking up. Daily numbers of inoculations at this center have increased threefold. That is not the case in some other vaccination centers. The problem is a decreased sense of urgency about getting inoculated as India's case numbers dip dramatically. Markets are buzzing. There are lines outside metro stations. Some are also hesitant to take one of the two vaccines India is using because final trials have not concluded. However, health officials are trying to reinforce the message that only vaccinations will end the pandemic.
The centers where it is not good footfall, there we are a bit too worried. There we are using mobilizers, senior consultants. We are calling them up to see that they get that vaccinated.
The next phase, inoculating those over 50, may pose greater challenges. Even this vulnerable group is divided about taking the shots.
Whenever my turn comes, I will take the vaccination.
Personally, I'll wait and watch because I feel my immunity is okay.
So far, more than 8 million people have been vaccinated. But those numbers will have to be scaled up substantially if India is to meet its target of reaching 300 million people by August. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
Follow more on this story and all you hear on VOA Asia on our Twitter stream at VOA Asia, also on Facebook and the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Myanmar military leaders extend detention of Suu Kyi. First batch of vaccines arrive in New Zealand as Auckland shuts down. Hotel quarantine under scrutiny as Australian state races to contain COVID-19 outbreak. Targeted killing of journalists, activists spike after Afghan peace talks begin, according to the United Nations. Historic ongoing search fails to find climbers missing on Pakistan's K2 mountain. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more can be found daily at Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our website, voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Health experts say allocating and delivering adequate supplies of COVID-19 vaccines to the developing world will continue to be a challenge. They add that collective and cooperative solutions will be needed, and failing to provide them will imperil human health worldwide. We have more with VOA's Mariama Diallo.
The global economy stands to lose as much as $9 trillion U.S. dollars if developing countries do not get adequate access to COVID-19 vaccines, says Gavi Alliance's Anuradha Gupta. In a video discussion organized by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, Gupta argues it's in the interest of advanced economies to invest in vaccine equity.
Time is of the essence. Any delay would mean prolonging the pandemic with debilitating consequences for the whole world. More transmission means more variants, more adaptations of vaccines, potentially more boosters, more need for funding, more time for economic recovery, and meanwhile, more poverty, more hunger, more deaths.
Wealthy countries have already secured millions of vaccines and have started inoculating their populations, while many poorer countries have been struggling to get the vaccines. COVAX is one of the pillars of the Access to COVID-19 Tools Accelerator, launched last year by the World Health Organization and its partners to make sure that countries are not left behind. And while Act A has raised money, it faces a big funding gap, says Norway's Jon Arne Rodingen.
We need in total $27 billion to fund this program for 2021. That's a huge amount. But when we know that the same countries have invested $12 trillion in economic stimulus packages, which is really important for our economies, if you do the calculations, these around $30 billion is actually just a quarter of a percent of that total economic policy stimuli.
The United States has been an Act A participant since Tuesday. It has pledged $4 billion and is in discussion to provide further support. Jeremy Knondike, USAID's senior advisor.
It's very important to us as well that as we are going from sort of, you know, no commitment to COVAX to a very large commitment to COVAX, that we are also engaging with other donor countries to kind of use that funding to increase everyone's level of ambition. We often say no one is safe until everyone is safe. And that's more than just a slogan. It really needs to be the centerpiece of our policy on the pandemic.
Something echoed by Duke University's Krishna Udayakumar.
Even countries that get to herd immunity with vaccination are not really safe if everybody else in the world is also not vaccinated to reach herd immunity.
Beyond funding, preparation is also key, says the World Bank's Mohamed Ali Pattey.
You don't start preparing for vaccines when the vaccines are at the airport. So things like having the policies in place, dealing, making sure that the allocation criteria are fair and equitable, the culture and infrastructure, the logistics, the community engagement, the regulatory framework, all of those elements before the vaccines come. So we've deployed a lot of effort together with the partners.
Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
In Thailand, the government defended its decision not to join the WHO-sponsored coronavirus vaccine program, saying that to do so would risk the country paying more for the shots and facing uncertainty about delivery times. The government has been criticized by opposition politicians and protesters for lacking transparency and being too slow in procuring vaccines. While the country of 66 million people has had low numbers of cases and deaths, it is dealing with a second wave of infections. Frontline health workers are to begin receiving 2 million imported Chinese Sinovac shots within a month, but mass vaccinations for the general population are not due to begin until locally produced AstraZeneca doses are ready in June. In all, 190 countries have joined COVAX, which aims to ensure equitable access to vaccines during the pandemic. Thailand so far has not received or produced any vaccines, even as many of its neighbors have started inoculations. This news from VOA Asia. Japan's meteorological agency said Saturday's 7.3 magnitude earthquake off Japan's Fukushima was considered an aftershock of the massive tremor nearly a decade ago. That one sparked a tsunami and nuclear meltdown. Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga said no casualties had so far been reported after the late-night quake. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. glad to have you here with us on VOA Asia. The state of Victoria in Australia is in a five-day lockdown, just as the Australian Open tennis tournament continues with no crowds. Australian Open tournament director Craig Tilley says he hopes fans will return for the championship matches.
We hope that we're in a good place, and we hope that this lockdown, like I'm sure the government does, has done its job. And if that's the case, we'll be able to have fans back for the last 4 days of the event.
Tilley says the players are following a strict protocol, in line with restrictions in place for anyone who lives in Victoria State.
What will be different for the players is, besides the fact that there will be no fans, they will travel between the site and their place of residence. And not dissimilar to everyone else, under the conditions of this lockdown, where you can leave your home for an hour, leave your residence for an hour, stay within 5 kilometres for exercise. Otherwise, everything else you're not able to do, the players will be under those same conditions.
Australians, meanwhile, will receive a certificate as proof of receiving a coronavirus vaccine when a mass inoculation program begins later this month. Foreign travelers are also likely to need similar confirmation of a COVID-19 shot when Australia's international borders finally reopen. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australia is working hard to ensure we all have access to safe, effective and free COVID-19 vaccines.
Australia has spent millions of dollars on public health campaigns, urging the community to have a COVID-19 inoculation. There is hesitation in some quarters because of the speed with which treatments have been developed, but authorities expect the vast majority of Australians to be vaccinated. The elderly and other priority groups will start to receive the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine later this month, while the AstraZeneca drug is expected to be approved by Australian regulators within weeks. Recipients will be given proof that they've received the treatment. Vaccine certificates are expected to allow Australians easier access to nursing homes and hospitals, which have strict disease controls because of the vulnerability of residents and patients. The so-called virus passports could also give Australians permission to cross state internal borders in the event of future lockdowns. Many were closed during the pandemic to curb the spread of the coronavirus, but families were separated and businesses disrupted. The documents could also assist with international travel. The government hopes to offer all Australians a vaccination by the end of October. Government Services Minister Stuart Roberts says the documentation will be easily accessible.
The key thing for Australians to know is they will have a record. They will have a digital and paper certificate. For some 89% of Australians who have a smartphone, they'll be able to access that digital certificate in their smartphone, download it onto their phone as a permanent record. They'll be able to print it out. Every Australian will have a record of their vaccination should they need it.
Opposition politicians are wary of the government's competence to deliver the passports properly. They insist it has a poor track record of delivering COVID-19 support services online. Foreign travellers are also likely to need similar confirmation of a coronavirus injection when Australia's international borders finally reopen. They were closed last March. Australian citizens and permanent residents are allowed to return home, but face between 14 and 24 days in mandatory hotel quarantine at their own expense when they return. Australia has recorded 28,850 coronavirus infections and 909 people have died, according to the Health Department. It estimates there are 52 active cases across the country. The nation's virus strategy has relied on mass testing, sophisticated contact tracing, strict lockdowns, and restrictions on international travel. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
How
Happening now in Asia, torrential rains triggered a landslide on Indonesia's main island of Java, killing at least two people and leaving 16 others missing. Emergency personnel were digging with their bare hands and farm tools, desperately seeking to unearth more victims, according to officials. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the U.S. southern state of Florida is cracking down to prevent non-state residents from receiving the COVID-19 vaccine after a large number of people got the shot ahead of Florida residents. The vaccine rollout in Florida, as in other states, has faced problems in large part because of vaccine supply shortages. Lilia Anisimova in Miami has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Over 1.2 million people have received COVID-19 vaccines in Florida. The vaccine is free and can be given at special vaccination points, large malls, nursing homes, supermarkets, and pharmacies.
Not only was Florida the first state in the nation to vaccinate more than 500,000 seniors, but we are rapidly approaching reporting 1 million vaccinations just to Florida seniors.
Up until recently, it had been easy to qualify. A document with the date of birth was enough. But now, those who want to get vaccinated will need to prove they are Florida residents. The reason for the new requirement is the result of the new data from the state health department, showing that 39,000 vaccine recipients live outside Florida. Exceptions are made, however, for medical workers, seasonal residents, and property owners. The decision of local authorities to allow vaccinations only to Florida residents was met with mixed responses.
Well, it doesn't make any sense because until we're all vaccinated, nobody's safe. It's as simple as that, really. So it's the wrong decision.
I agree totally.
I would say so too.
You know, I'm vaccinated if each one lives in a state. That's your residence. So if you want, talk to your congressman, senator, mayor, whomever, and try to get it, and push it there. But it's true, we don't have enough over here because we have a lot of people that come to Miami and they want to do it. And this is not tourism, this is for our lives.
The reason for the change is that, like in many states, there just isn't enough vaccine in Florida to go around. Until the supply meets the demand, state officials will restrict who can get the vaccine. Those seeking to get the COVID-19 shot in Florida will now have to provide two forms of identification, one of which can prove they're a state resident. For Lilia Anisimova in Miami, Florida, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Making headlines in Asia, Myanmar's military leaders have extended their detention of ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi until Wednesday. The military detained Suu Kyi on charges of illegally possessing imported walkie-talkie radios 2 weeks ago as it seized power. Her original detention order was due to expire Monday. More on VOA Asia Twitter. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, New York City-based fashion illustrator and writer Rebecca Moses decided to turn a quarantine art project into a gift to all New York City nurses. Anna Rice returns to our program as she narrates a story by Nina Vishneva.
The pictures in this box can help trace back the COVID-inspired lockdown in New York City. Each portrait is a separate page in that saga.
The girl has the popcorn, a bottle of wine, breaking news constantly on television. She's sitting there in her pajamas, just glued to the television.
Rebecca Moses is a famous fashion illustrator and writer. The pandemic altered her plans for 2020, just like it did to millions of people around the world. With little else available, Moses turned to her pencil and her sense of humor.
This was a girl from the back doing her Zooms. This one adopted a fostered dog. This one read her way through the COVID. There were so many.
Moses asked her Instagram followers to send their pandemic life stories in exchange for a portrait. The responses flooded in from around the world.
I almost want to think that this girl is also Russian.
Sales assistants and fashion influencers, federal workers and philanthropists, teachers and diplomats, stars and strangers. She heard from all kinds of people.
This is a very famous lady. Her name's Nicole Fischlis. She's very French. She hasn't cleaned her apartment herself in so many years. And she had to send the lady home. She had to figure out how to turn on the vacuum cleaner. This woman, her name is Mercedes Salazar. During the first months of COVID, her partner died. She had to come up to New York to Sloan Kettering to be with him his last days. This young lady, she is from Barcelona, Spain, and she had her baby early.
Hundreds of women from 4 to 100 years old, hundreds and hundreds of faces.
This is Linda Valentino. This is the nurse.
This painting started what would later become Moses' main portrait saga, centered around New York City Mount Sinai nurses.
Rebecca painted 46 nurses in the Mount Sinai Health System, so each of our system hospitals, which has, to my knowledge, never been done.
Linda Valentino was the only nurse that Moses painted wearing scrubs. The other nurses are portrayed wearing bright clothing.
When all the portraits were finished and they were in their permanent home, they would be like a tapestry of these remarkable women from all different ethnicities and backgrounds, all with different specialities.
Moses passed all the portraits to Mount Sinai Hospital, where they hang today, adding a splash of color and a glimpse of hope for life after the pandemic. Fanina Vishnyova in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
The focus for several nations in space is not COVID, but Mars. It's a busy time on the Red Planet, as three Mars missions from three countries are converging on their target. Plus, there's some money to be made on what space drops on our planet. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has the week in space.
The Martian surface has never been so popular for Earthling vessels. In July 2020, the United States, the United Arab Emirates, and China launched missions to the Red Planet. At the time, Earth and Mars had the type of ideal alignment that only happens every 26 months. In the past 7 months, the spacecrafts from Earth traveled almost half a billion kilometers, and Tuesday's arrival to Martian orbit made the UAE the first Arab country to reach Mars on its quest to study the planet. Sarah Alamiri is chair of the UAE Space Agency. She says the years-long journey to build and launch a craft could inspire other Arab nations.
Today you have households of every single age group passionate about space, understanding a lot of science that happens in there. It's opened a broad realm for possibilities for everyone within the UAE and also, and I truly hope, within the Arab world.
A theme echoed by Indian-born opera singer Oscar Castellino's Rise to Mars anthem.
Rise to Mars, men and women, dare to dream, dare to strive.
The UAE's orbiter fired its main engines for 27 minutes to enter the Martian atmosphere in what's being called the Hope Maneuver. It took another 17 minutes for nervous scientists on Earth to learn the good news. The following footage comes from Chinese state television, and VOA cannot independently verify its content. It claims to show scientists at the moment China's Tianwen-1 probe entered orbit around Mars. The Chinese craft executed a similar slowdown technique to the UAE's Hope maneuver. Tianwen-1 will stay in a so-called parking orbit to survey the surface looking for potential landing sites in May or June. A rover from the United States is scheduled to join the party at Mars next week. Finally this week, auction house Christie's is looking to turn space rocks into cash. It's part of the annual sale of lunar rocks and rare meteorites. Bidding for some items could start at $250, while a lunar rock is estimated to run $350,000. Anyone who wants to bid on something from out of this world has until February 23rd when the auction ends. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Thanks for joining our program. Come back again at the same time tomorrow. And in the meantime, you can find us online. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just look us up by our name, VOA Asia. We'd also like to thank those who help bring this program to you every day, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.